First Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. Excuse me. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, and to Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying which is in faith. So do. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain janglings, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor of they affirm. Verse 17. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This charge I commit unto thee, my son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. I really, as far as my own reasoning, my own thinking, when we started the church, I thought I would go into this a lot earlier, but the Lord didn't lead me. But now I feel to go in this. I want to start a church order series, and today I'd like to preach on the doctrine of the Lord. Doctrine's one of those, what's that, taboo kind of words, isn't it? Ooh, doctrine. Some people are like, oh, doctrine, yeah. Well, let's hopefully, by the time this is over, you'll understand what the doctrine of the Lord truly is. Let's bow our heads together. You have a need as we approach the Word once again, knowing that the need is, or the Word is the source for all of our needs. Let's go ahead and lift it up to the Lord as we approach His Word. Yes. Heavenly Father, thank you again for bringing each one here this afternoon. I pray, Lord, that the Word that would be spoken would not be of a man's thoughts, but Lord, it would be you coming and showing that you're the same God today as you've always been. Lord, I don't know the thoughts and intents of the people or in their hearts, Lord, but I know that you do.
Yes.
And you commissioned me to preach the gospel, to be ready in season and out of season. And I pray that that would be in fulfillment today, that many signs and wonders may be provided, Lord, from the preaching of your word, that the people might be liberated, Father, that Satan's kingdom would be destroyed and thwarted one more time in this house of God, as it has been many times when Satan tries to give us sickness or depression or things of his life. Lord, we pray that this service, all his strongholds be torn down, Father, and that the life of God might just spring in every heart, and the joy, love, and peace of your Spirit may abide in our lives. We commit this service to your hands. May you move, we pray, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. In verse 3 again, as we know, 1 Timothy was Paul writing to Timothy as he began a pastoralship, I believe, at Ephesus. And he says it here, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went to Macedonia, knowing that Paul had started a work there, but Paul was an apostle. He wasn't called to be a pastor, he was called to be an apostle. And an apostle, I'm sorry to say it, but most churches don't teach what an apostle really is. They think of it's just nonsense, the things that I've heard that are apostolic ministries. But an apostle is a man that can go into a town by the leading of the Lord and start a work of the Lord. And then once he gets established, the Lord will bring a pastor to come into that place to take the work on. And then he goes to start it somewhere else. That's what an apostle is really supposed to be. That's what a missionary is supposed to be. When a missionary goes overseas, he's not an evangelist. Though many times they can do evangelical work. If he's truly going as a missionary, he should go over there with the intention of being able to, God would raise a work to sustain out there, that he wouldn't have to keep coming and taking care of it, because that's just unreasonable. I hope that makes sense. It doesn't make sense to fly your minister across the sea back and forth. God should be able to raise up a man there to preach the word. And that's why Brother Branham says, if there's ever a place that needs missionaries, it's the United States. A place that doesn't know left from right hand when it comes to the Bible. They don't know what's right and wrong anymore. And remember what the Bible said about a generation that calls good evil and evil good. It's not good for that generation. But aren't you glad that one day you lost your old mind and the Word came? The mind of Christ came, and when you used to think was right, now you saw it was wrong. Amen. When you used to think what was good, now you saw it ain't good at all. Isn't that right? We're in a world, man, if you kissed 10 girls, that was a good thing. If you slept with 20 women, that was a good thing. And then you came to the Lord and said, man, I wish I wouldn't have done any of that stuff. When you're in the world, my, I could put down 40 dogs like there ain't nothing to it. And then you come to the Lord and say, man, I wish I would have never touched that stuff. Can we say an amen? Maybe I'm the only one that came from the world. Maybe I'm the only one that received salvation and realized I needed a change. That my mind was corrupted. I didn't come into this world born again. I needed born again.
Amen.
Last I checked, there was one man that came in the world who didn't need to be born again. That was Jesus.
Amen.
And he became me.
Yes.
That I might become him.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So verse 3 here. As I besought thee still to abide at Ephesus when I went to Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. And I love that because Paul, when Paul taught things, he didn't leave a gray area. He made it very plain what he was trying to say. This is it. What I am showing you, the gospel according to Paul, is the only gospel that ever existed.
Sure.
That go over just right. Do you understand what the saints said when Brother Branham crossed the curtain of time? What did they say? He said, you've been a leader. Brother Branham was raised and said, you've been a leader to this age. He said, you'll be judged with your people. He said, will Paul be judged with his people? He said, yes. Well, if he's going in, we are too, because I preached the same gospel Paul did.
Amen.
And he said, the multitudes screamed and said, we're resting on that.
Amen.
And if you've made the message a new denomination, you've taken the message and for some reason you're past what Paul preached.
Right.
There's something wrong somewhere. The ministry of Elijah was come to restore the church back to what it had when it was the Alpha Bride. But with one thing, now she's the Omega Bride.
Amen.
Now she's in the darkest age. Yeah, they had to fight back in that time. But as we know, Brother Branham says, every generation, the wickedness is just, it's increasing. He said, my, when I was, you know, you people out there 10 years ago, we didn't fight like these children do today.
Right.
Wonder what it's like for today.
Yeah.
And even my generation, I, you know, most of y'all think I'm young, but I'm beginning to realize I'm getting a little older. That I ain't 15, 16 years old no more. I've kind of moved on to the next step of life, and I begin to realize, my, look what they have today.
Yeah.
It's just unreal. You know, we didn't have internet everywhere we went when I was in school.
Right.
You know, I was just about to come in. We barely started into cell phones. I didn't even know what texting was. I thought it was stupid back then. I'm like, why would I sit here and dibble dabble all day when I could just call them? Do you know why Satan did that? Do you know why Satan let texting be such a predominant thing?
Yeah.
Because it took away your ability to connect with someone.
Yes, that's right.
You understand that?
Wow.
And it's one thing to say, you know, I just need to know a yes or no, blah, blah, blah. How many times have you said something because you didn't want to have to really talk to that person?
Right.
Ooh, is that all right?
Come on,
if you destroy the connection of man to man, you'll automatically destroy the connection from man to God. Because in order to love God, you have to love each other.
Right.
And if you can't love each other, whom you have seen, how in the world can you love God, whom you haven't seen?
Right.
And that's the gospel that Paul preached. Hope you know that doctrine is not just a code of ethics. Doctrine is not just our creed sheet that we have up here. And unfortunately, too many message churches have that in their churches. They have a set of creeds that you need to adhere to. And if you don't, you're not really a believer. The gospel never came that way. Paul never taught it that way. Even to the point where he said, if I eat something sacrificed to an idol and it doesn't defile my conscience, that's fine. I've gave God thanks for it. I can eat it. But if it offends my brother and he's got a weak conscience towards that, I will not do it in front of him. Do you see what it begins to be? It's not a do and a don't. It's I love and I'm going to love and I'm going to put the other guy in front of me. That's when you'll do everything right. It's when it's not about you. It's not about you living for yourself. It's about you living for Christ, which will automatically make you live for each other.
Amen.
And if your experience hasn't changed your mind that you know, when we're in the world and things, and even if you're not careful, many times Christians, you get so consumed in your own experience.
Yeah.
You understand what I mean? Oh my, you know, I just don't feel good. I can't witness today. I can't share the gospel because I'm just not equipped today. I'm just backslid and things like that. You know how many times that's come through my head when I'm up here at the pulpit? What good would that do you for me to go up here and say, well, sorry, I can't pray for today? What good would that have done Austin Wednesday night if I said, sorry, you know, I did this wrong this afternoon. I'm not qualified to pray for you no more. Brother Thomas, the same, and God pours these things out. Say, my brother Andrew, you got a gift of healing, you got a gift of ministry, you got a gift of prophecy and things. If I wasn't trusting in the blood of Christ, none of those things would ever come out of my life because I would be too scared.
Amen.
I can't manifest this. He does.
Amen.
You say, well, I'm just this, I'm just that. Look, there's enough power in every single believer to speak a world into existence. And I can't help but believe we spend too much time wanting to earn the power that was given to you 2,000 years ago.
Amen.
And if you'll just realize that by grace are we saved through faith, that's the true doctrine that we're talking about today. It's not a do's and a don'ts. It's get born again.
Amen.
Get a new nature to where you want to do what's right and you hate what's evil. Amen. Isn't that what God lifted Job up for?
Yes.
A man that escheweth evil, which means he detested it. He didn't want nothing to do with it, and he wasn't afraid to preach against it.
Amen.
Right.
We ain't here to compromise with evil. We ain't say, well, you know, that's all right if you want to, you know, wear immoral clothes and you want to look at immoral women, or you want to take a social drink once in a while, or you want to cuss a little bit. And I'm sick and tired. I hope I'm going to say this again. But them little shady cuss words that people want to use,
right,
that's just cussing. You might as well quit it.
Yes.
Amen.
I say to my students all the time, they'll say, and I ain't going to say those words, but you know what it is.
Right.
I said, what does that word mean? I said, it means the cuss word, doesn't it? It don't mean nothing else. I said, well, it don't sound as bad. Well, I'm sorry, it means the same thing. And what did Jesus say? Every idle word. What does idle mean? It means a word without a purpose.
Right.
Every idle word you say, you'll give an account for. And I'm not looking to put a whole sheet of things I'm accountable for. I want to get as many off that as possible.
Sure.
Hope you understand, a true Christian, he don't sin willfully now. Did you hear me now? He's not trusting in his own merit, but he's not going to go out and sin on purpose.
Right, amen.
When he does wrong, it's something he didn't want to do, got tricked into it by the devil, let the old flesh rise up, and he listened to it, but he knew better.
Right.
Amen.
And he don't just sit there and go and make excuses about why he did that and how he can justify and things like that. That shows you ain't really born again just yet. A real born again Christian comes to the Lord and says, I am wrong. Lord, you are right.
Amen.
Right. That's right.
And he takes another dive back in the blood of Christ to get washed up
That's
again.
That's right, amen.
Because there ain't no other fountain I know that'll wash away your sins. There ain't no other fountain I know that'll get the sin curse off your shoulders. Otherwise, if you're trying to earn it, you're trying to get it taken off, you're trying to do this good, you're trying to fast long enough, you're trying to pray long enough, you're trying to read long enough, you're trying to be a Christian long enough that you can be forgiven, then the blood of Christ meant nothing for you.
Right.
But I've met Calvary.
Amen.
And I've gone through that old route, and I tell you what, it just goes right to condemnation as fast as you can go. Next exit, condemn.
Amen.
You try to get off that one, what's the next exit? Condemn. The whole road's filled with condemnation, but I ain't worried about that way. I'm worried about the way.
Amen.
And that's what we're here to speak of, the doctrine of the Lord. And doctrine is important now. What we believe is important, but it's got to be the purpose behind it that's the anchor.
Right, amen.
I hope you heard me today. If we know what serpent seed is, we need to know the doctrine or the anchor behind that to why we know this.
Right.
What good does it do to know that Adam and Eve didn't eat a fruit, but it was adultery in the Garden of Eden? If it's just some head knowledge, if it's just a good thought, what's the meaning behind it? What does it apply to your life? And it's time to stop being pitchfork religion and taking, oh, that revelation was good. That was for that brother. That was good, but I'm holy. You know, that's yours, brother. It's me. It's me. It's me, oh Lord. And I'm standing in the need.
Amen.
We'd all come to church realizing this is a one-on-one conference, which is the true doctrine of the Lord. Wherever you're gathered together, it's you and Him.
Amen.
I think we'd get a lot farther in a church service, don't you? And I think we've been learning that. I think we've been believing that. How many believes that?
Yes,
sir. How many can say in the last year you put more faith in that than you ever did before?
Amen.
I can say the same thing. Why? It's the end time. It ain't time to take the word and play around with it. It's time that the word is made manifest.
Amen.
It's time that this doctrine produces what it said it would.
Yes,
these Lord. Signs shall follow in that belief. That's the Lord's doctrine. He said that out of His own mouth.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
The works that I do shall you do also. That's the doctrine of the Lord. Now, the doctrine of the Lord also said, be ye holy as I am holy. So we need to be careful about that. You know, I understand we're saved by grace, but if you're really saved by grace, you love the Lord, and whatever He says, you want to do it.
That's right.
Nobody got to come twist your arm. Nobody got to say, well, you know, brother, I just think I can trim my hair. Well, then go ahead. As far as I'm concerned, go ahead. Because we know what the Bible said. It said it's a shame for a woman to shave or shorn her hair. Which means to cut or shave it. And it says that the woman should have long hair, and that word means to let the hair grow.
That's right.
Amen.
People want to fight, well, this is long, this is long, this is long. That ain't what the Bible said. It says let the hair grow.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I hate to break to anybody's theology, but if you're cutting, it ain't growing. Hallelujah. Well, let's go ahead and bring that to the man. Do you know what it says right before that? It says that a man should be lifting up his hands everywhere, giving praise to God.
Amen.
And as a woman adorns herself in modest apparel, it's a witness that Jesus Christ is living in that vessel. Hope you heard me. That they can see that Jesus Christ, you don't have to do any kind of work. Her presence is a work in itself.
Amen.
But a man now, we got the same shirts on, we got the same pants on, we got, well, not anymore, just about. I wear a belt. But you understand what I mean. There's plenty of businessmen that look better than I do right now, look classier than I do, look like they would be more holy. But it ain't that for a man. A man should be able to give God praise wherever he is. He ain't ashamed to look like a fool. He ain't ashamed to cry when the presence of the Lord comes around him right amidst all the guys that are around. I hope you heard me today. If you still hold on to any little bit of pride, I'm telling you right now, you need to go back to Calvary and let it die. Hallelujah. The doctrine of the Lord. Now look what happens when you begin to leave. Just a few of those things. We'll get into more detail here in a minute. But verse 4 says this in 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 1. Neither give heed unto fables and endless genealogies. What was that? Oh my, look at this. We can trail this back. Oh, isn't this such a good doctrine? Look how wonderful it is. And they begin to break it down and say, what's the point, brother? I've sat through services the whole time, and you know, and was Brother Nathan talking about PowerPoint presentations? I've been in those before
sure. For
a good hour and a half, 2 hours, and I'm looking at this, and we get done, and I go, what's the point?
Yeah, right.
Well, how is my life different now that I know these things?
Right.
That's when you know the gospel ain't being presented. I ain't saying this so you can't put a PowerPoint. I think it'd be nice to be able to just throw the scripture up there and the quotes up there so I don't got to, you know, read off there. You ain't got to flip, and we can save a little bit of time. I don't think, I ain't got nothing against that. But if there's no purpose behind what you're saying, quit saying it.
Amen.
Can we take that into our own lives too? If the purpose behind what you're saying is not edifying, it's not the gospel, it's something else, and we all do, we all waste words, we all say, it's time to just quit doing that. It's time to say, Lord, let the word be my word.
Amen.
Let the word not no longer be just something I think about. Let it be the word that comes out of my mouth, that this is my life.
Yes.
It's not my lifestyle to be a Christian. My life is to be a Christian. It's who I am. It's the makeup that's within me. It's to do what the Lord wants done. Hallelujah. Not giving heed to fables. What are fables? Stories that aren't actually true. And unfortunately, I believe that most people hear these things in the Bible and they go, well, that's a nice story, but did it really happen that way? What the Bible said happened is what happened. And I can't even stand, I don't even like to call it Bible stories, because unless when you're talking in the world, I think you all would understand what I'm saying if I said a Bible story. But somebody in the world thinks it's a story. Oh, just like Jack and Jill and going up the beanstalk. It's just a nice story. I even heard this. I overheard it. I wish I had enough time to say something about it. But some kid in the back said, do you know Jonah and the whale and was eating some whale or something? Do you know that's in the Bible? That's a Bible story? And I began to say, you poor miserable wretch. Do you know that actually happened?
Yeah, that's right.
Do you know the Bible didn't record that just because it was a fancy story and had a good, it was a nice fable and had a good moral character to it? No, sir. It is exactly what happened.
Yeah. Amen.
Saying, by the way, physically possible. I ain't talking about God that worries about being physically possible. I'm talking about a God that created everything, a God that has all the rules to the universe figured out pretty well, and he knows how to make a fish that can swallow a man.
Amen.
They're trying to figure out a way to get a man to space. God done figured that out. He just put him underwater where there ain't nothing for him to breathe in. So much pressure he can't take it. All they'd have to do is go find that fish. I think they could throw it out in space. It'd be all right. Why? Because that wasn't a man-made fish. That was a God-constructed fish. We say the whale because he had to have been large enough to swallow a man, but at the same time, we know the Bible said it was fish.
Amen.
And it was a prepared fish.
Amen.
So yeah, I hate to break to you, scientists. This is not something that happened every day. God spoke that there'd be fish, and there's all these. Now he said, this one's prepared, though. I took my time to change this, and aren't you glad? There was churches, brides, but there's one that he prepared.
Amen.
There's one that he said, I'm gonna look at this one, and I'm gonna mold it. He's gonna be in my hands. How many's glad you're in the master's hands?
Amen.
And he can take the clay of your life, and when it gets a little wrong, he knows how to smooth it off.
Amen.
He knows how to bring the trials on.
Yes.
He knows how to get that person to say that one little thing that just gets under your skin. Why? Because you're holding on to a little grudge somewhere.
Uh-huh.
You want to find perfect faith, find a man that knows how to say, you know what? It's all right. Isn't that it? When did Jesus get all worked up? When did Jesus say, oh my, I don't know about this one? He lived in a realm of perfect faith.
Right.
Perfect faith can look at a dead man. And we know it's human emotions, he began to cry, but he didn't worry about the situation, did he? He says, roll away the stone. How many of you would have said that? Whew. Not a man been dead 4 days. maybe 4 minutes, we think, well, maybe we got no faith. He's dead 4 days. The casual man that went to the funeral and things, he done forgot about it.
Right?
It's just another name in the obituaries to him.
Mm-hmm.
But not to the Lord, because he saw past this. Remember, a man prepared for the bride of Christ. He knew who Lazarus really was.
Amen.
And why did he die? For the glory of God to be shed. The doctrine of the Lord, when he could say, Lazarus, come forth, and a man dead 4 days stood up. That's the doctrine of the Lord.
Amen.
Doctrine of the Lord don't sit on pages that don't ever do nothing. That's fables. That's endless genealogies. That's just trailing down this and trailing down that, and never gets to any sort of physical manifestation. You might as well just be a Jehovah's Witness, and everything's just spiritual and never ever happens.
Right, amen.
That ain't what I believe. I believe faith is a substance. And it is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things that we do not see. It is more real than things we do see.
Amen.
Amen.
Real faith now, substance faith, not made up faith, not intellectual faith, God's faith.
Amen.
The same faith that said, let there be a world, and there was. What good would it have done for it just to have been the first thought and no word to it? Aren't you glad that God didn't keep his thoughts just in his head, but he spoke them so we could hear them and receive it?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions. There have been one of them conversations. Well, Brother Branham said this, and the Bible says this, and by the time it's done, what's happened? You're just going down a bunch of questions that have no . Do you understand when you trail something down, you're going to begin to realize that God existed all by himself and there wasn't nothing? And he, what does that mean? Mm-hmm. Anybody got there yet? How? No, you're not going to get. It's just ministering questions that we were never told to try to understand.
Sure.
We think of living forever. Anybody ever thought that for a little bit? How can you? What? Doesn't start? No end? No tomorrow? No yesterday? See, we're creatures of time. And we're used to this little box that we live in. Isn't that right? Time dominates our lives.
Anybody really? Sure.
But the doctrine of the Lord will take us out of time one of these days. And we'll go to eternity where it makes sense.
Amen.
Perfect soundness, perfect faith, perfect love. We think, oh my, well, you know, and if you let Satan minister these questions to you, you know what it'll do to you? It'll destroy your faith because you can't understand it. But look, faith and understanding don't go hand in hand. Faith is here. Reasoning can just stay over here where it belongs.
Amen.
Amen. Let's keep reading there now. Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which ministers questions, rather than godly edifying which is in faith. So do. Now the end of the commandment. Now let's look at here. What is Paul getting at? Here's the end of everything we should believe should do these things. It is charity out of a pure heart. What does that mean? Charity is divine love, as we understand, out of a pure heart, which means you're not doing it for some selfish pretense. You actually love that person. And how many times have we given just to feel good about it?
Right.
Now, I know Dad said that, and it's all right to feel good. You should. If you don't feel good that somebody else is blessed, there's something wrong with you.
Right.
If you don't feel good that somebody else gets happy, there's something wrong with you. You're probably so selfish you can't live for anybody else. But if the motivation behind it isn't just because you care about that person,
right,
and that's the reason you're doing it, is so you can feel good about it, don't waste your time. What did the Bible say? You already have your reward.
Amen.
Yeah.
God loves you to do things in secret. He loves you to take your money and some guy on the street and hand him $5 and nobody ever knows about it. Because if we can get to the place where the only opinion that matters to you and I is God's, we'll do those things. If you're worried about what the pastor thinks, you're worried about what your church thinks, you'll wait till they're around to watch.
Sure. Amen.
Man, I don't know, church. Are we all right with this morning? That's even a little rough there. I don't know if some of us went back and said, oh, Lord, mercy, have mercy on me. Why did I go do that? Now, the end of the commandment is charity of a pure heart and a good conscience. What does that mean? That your thoughts are the word. That you're good conscience. You're not trying to think evil, but you've been changed to think what's right.
Right.
Amen. And of faith unfeigned. Faith unmovable. Faith is the foundation of a Christian's experience, and that should be your source that you pull everything out of. That you believe God, and that what God has said must come to pass. That's the true doctrine of the Lord. It's not a list of things that he told us. It's that the word will manifest every time. And
Amen.
I can't believe that people are too bored with that. Oh my, it's just the word coming to pass. That's the most exciting thing in my life, is when I see God's word get off the page and it becomes reality.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And I love it that if you'll just look, it happens day in, day out, hour in, hour out. You are God's workmanship. He doesn't sit there and just let it spin for no reason. He's got a purpose behind it. He's watching that clay. He's waiting for the right time to put his hand here and to put it here and to get it shaped just in the whose image? The image of a perfect man, the Son of God himself.
Amen. Yes, Lord Jesus.
That's the doctrine of the Lord I stand on, that we are here to get people to the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that God might infill them, their souls, that He can lead and mold and change them into the image of Christ.
Amen.
And anything contrary to that, anything that leads you to church conformity, anything that leads you to just being a good person or just paying tithes or just saying amen to the pastor no matter what he's got to say, who cares what the word has to say? No, sir. If you even, I'll bring it right to me. If you think I'm off the word, you better not say amen.
Amen.
Don't lie. If you don't agree, don't say it. I've been in too many churches where everybody just say amen. And they don't, you go ask them after church, what was the sermon about? I don't know. But it was the word, brother. Whew. When I receive the word, the reason, that's what I'm saying, it's just intellectualism. It's just some emotional workup. When you really receive the word, you can't forget it because you become it.
Amen.
You look at the scriptures that you've memorized, you know why you haven't memorized? Because they manifest in your life sometimes.
Amen.
They're a lot easier to memorize a scripture when you watch that scripture not just be a newspaper, but it came and it manifested. You're like, oh, I remember that. Because you tied it to something that's real.
Amen.
Woo, that's the real doctrine. It isn't tied to just a newspaper or a code of ethics. It's tied to the living God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Verse 6. From which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling. Anybody know what that is? Worthless talking. Welcome to Message 2014. Bunch of worthless talking. Oh, let's go ahead and spend hours and hours in Bible studies and Bible studies trying to figure out if we should have Christmas or not. Vain jangling. It just baffles me how much time and effort people put into something like that. But how about we just quit worrying about it? And let's go actually witness to that guy that's down the street that we just walk to go by but says we are too busy fighting over some stupid doctrine. Neither one of us are doing anything.
Right. Amen.
Shows you're not in the doctrine of the Lord. What did the doctrine of the Lord do to the apostles? They didn't sit around on their couch and they go nowhere. They went out and preached.
Amen.
Not just a bunch of words, not a bunch of vain jangling that never got anywhere. They preach the word, which is Christ, which manifests the word of God in power.
Amen.
Demonstration. Hallelujah. Desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor of they affirm. There's many people that can take this Bible and read. The works that I do shall you do also. And greater works than this shall you do. Many people can read from the church age book where it says you'll be an invincible army. God can't stand against this church, this bride that's coming to maturity and things. They can read it and they try to be teachers of it, but for some reason it never manifests. And if you watch a man that's not sensitive to the Spirit of the Lord, you know what he'll be led to? He'll begin to blame. Oh, it's that person. They were backslidden, sir. They should have done this. Oh, we almost had a great time in the Lord, but oh, this person over here did this. I've been there, church. I ain't just preaching a bunch of nonsense. I've seen this happen over and over again. I don't come to have almost services.
Amen.
I come to have a Holy Ghost time.
That's right.
Because I didn't come to preach my own words. I came to preach His Word. And if I be a true servant of God, when you preach His Word, He'll come to confirm it.
Amen.
No man is subject to any other qualification than that.
That's right.
If God doesn't vindicate the word that's preached, you're a hypocrite and you're a liar. Quit preaching.
Amen.
Say, well, what about the prophet? The prophet said the exact same thing. He said, "What I told you the truth, he'll come here and confirm it now."
Amen.
Desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say. They'll read the same words you do. They'll read the same quotes, but they don't even understand what they're saying.
Amen.
And you find a true believer that understands the mystery of God, that it wasn't just, oh, look at these cool things that we've learned. Oh, isn't this neat? Aren't we such a better group of believers than the rest of the world? That just shows you never heard the real understanding. The real understanding began to say, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that came and saved a wretch like me and didn't just leave me to be a deadbeat sinner, but changed my life and He gave me something that's eternal. And you watch somebody that understands that the seals were opened and it exposed Christ and began to see that Christ was always in them. That's when you begin to see somebody that realizes what the true doctrine really was. What was it even trying to point to? What did serpent seed point to? The election of God. What did the baptism in Jesus' name point to? The election of God. What do all these doctrines that we hold on to, modesty and things like that, it pulls to the election of God. Because unless it's really in you, it can never manifest the way it's supposed to.
Amen.
People say, this is Christ, this is Christ, this is Christ. And all you can say is, yes, 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 it's all a part of Christ. But if you really want Him, it's got to be the whole package.
Oh, yeah. Amen.
Well, we got our hair long, we got skirts on. Good, that's part of it, but that ain't the whole picture.
Right.
We lay our hands on the sick, they recover. Good, that's part of it, but that ain't the whole picture. We love one another. We give to this. We give to that. That's good. That's part of it. But that's not the whole picture. Is it Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever? Or is it not? That's the difference. Christ will do all the things. The character of God and the power of God must be in the believer's life together. If it's one or the other, you've left him.
Amen.
For Satan. You've left him for the devil.
That's
because
right.
The devil is Christ with one tweak to him.
Wow.
That's it. That's all it takes. You take one little thing off Christ, we think, oh, my age of Christ, way out there, Christ over here. No, He's floating right around him, trying to be just like him. But the only way he could be like him would be to repent of his sins and get converted. And if the old devil do that, guess what? He'd be your brother. How many know the devil ain't going to repent of no sin he's ever done? The devil is the very author of pride.
Yes.
And he has his own mind so wrapped up in pride, he actually believes in himself that he can defeat the purpose of God somehow. How do you prove that? Look at him trying over and over and over again. And he knows that he knows all things, but he's so consumed, he thinks, oh my, it'll work out one of these days. No, it's not. You ain't going to outbeat the master. The master done figured this out. He didn't even have to think about it. He already knew. How do you beat somebody that knows everything? I ain't trying to beat him. I just say yes, Lord.
Amen.
Then he beat the devil for me, so I don't got to worry about it no more. Say, Brother Andrew, how did Austin get healed? I have no idea. But the Word said if we lay hands on sick, they'll get well. Hey, it worked. I'm okay with that.
Amen.
Does anybody want to see the doctrine of the Lord in power real quick here? Let's look at this. Acts chapter, let me see if I remember that. Acts 13. This scripture, I just absolutely love this. Acts 13. Go to verse 6, please. Verse 6, and when they had gone through the isle unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul, and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost. Ain't that an important step right there? Don't do nothing unless you're filled with the Holy Ghost. If you're going in your own spirit, you ain't going to win. But if you're filled with the Holy Ghost, He's already won.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And then Paul, their soul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set eyes on him and said, O fool of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, remember the man they were trying to convince the word of God, look what they did to convince him. Then the deputy, which when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Oh my, we think, oh, he was convinced by the doctrine. That means that Paul sat down with him and for hours and hours they went through the scriptures and began to explain this and this and this and do this, this and this. Now look what happened. A man full of the devil tried to challenge the word of God, and what did he do? He didn't back down. He said, you child of the devil, you rotten serpent. How long will you pervert the ways of the Lord? And there's been many ministers and people try to say that out of their own spirit.
Sure.
And they'll condemn a child of God, and the process goes to show which side the devil's really on.
Right.
Because if I understand that, you know, we're supposed to love one another, and the servant of the Lord, you don't see Jesus going around every time and saying, you're the devil, you're the devil. But there came a time to say it.
Right. Yeah.
And this is what happened to Paul. When he look what he did. He wasn't fighting for himself anymore. The deputy's soul was on the line.
Amen.
That changed things. If Paul was trying to boast himself up, I'd have questioned what he said here. But when that rotten devil began to spread up. Remember, he was full of the Holy Ghost, so he could see now. That ain't no man standing. That's the devil.
Right.
And he saw the devil. And what was it trying to do? Keep this deputy from getting saved.
Amen.
Then that began to rise something within Paul. He said, you child of the devil, how long will you pervert the ways of the Lord? From now on, for a season now, you're going to be blind.
Right.
That would have meant nothing if nothing happened, wouldn't it? But what happened immediately? It said there was a darkness and a mist around him, and he needed somebody to lead him around.
Yeah.
And it said the deputy believed. How? Because the doctrine of the Lord was manifested.
Amen.
Doesn't that just destroy so many things we've heard over the years? Oh, the doctrine, we got to believe this and get this square. And once we get this doctrine, the seals figured out, and the church age, and we get it all lined up, oh my, here comes the power of God. They ain't never worked in any age. You get a people that are born again. You get a people that know how to listen to the Spirit and not man. They'll get the doctrine right, and they'll go cast out devils.
Amen.
They'll go heal the sick. They'll speak in tongues. They'll drink deadly things, and it won't harm them. They'll lay their hands on the sick, and they shall recover. That's the doctrine of the Lord that I stand on. I don't stand on a church book. I don't stand on some theology. I stand on Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The rock of my revelation,
Amen.
The rock of my life, Jesus Christ, the same God today that he always was.
Amen.
And he's not just floating about somewhere. He lives in my soul.
That's right.
He lives in your soul if you're born again. Every believer's packing the power of God. And that's the doctrine I stand on.
Amen.
These signs follow them.
Yes.
Amen.
Every one of us that believe.
Hallelujah.
And I ain't here to just say it's you guys or it's just me, but I'll be an example. I hope you understand. I ain't afraid to be an example. I've even heard that before, ministers. You know, we need to be the front lines. We need to do this. We'll get doing it then. It just shows you ain't got the right faith in the first place. Brother Bram said, if you want to speak in tongues, I believe if you ask the Lord, he'll let you.
Sure.
If it don't happen, just proves you ain't got faith in the first place that God's actually going to hear you. And I'll be honest, the more you stay in the presence of the Lord, the more you begin to believe what God has said. I don't know how you don't speak in tongues once in a while.
Amen.
I don't know how you don't feel the presence and just can't think of what to say no more and blah, 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 and things. And then begin to see a different language. It's not you that speaks, it's the Holy Spirit that speaks. Hallelujah. And the Holy Spirit can speak in English too, don't worry.
Yes, he can. Amen.
I ain't trying to say everybody's got to do that, but I hope you understand. Some sign of a believer needs to follow your life.
Amen.
It ain't time to worry about, well, the church, you know. And a lot of people take it both ways. I hope you understand. A lot of people say, oh, I must be right because signs are falling the church. Church can be just fine. You might be wrong.
Right.
Amen. That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Hallelujah.
Come on.
But I'll tell you this. If there ain't no signs falling anybody, I'd be nervous.
Sure.
Right.
Sounds like some vain jangling to me. Sounds like a bunch of words that don't do anything to me. And I got so sick and tired of hearing that. So many message churches that I've sat through, you barely got enough word to even live a good, wholesome life. They're not even nice anymore to each other. They're not nice to the sinner. They're not nice to the saint. But they love God. Oh, we already know what the Bible done said about that. You're a liar. You're deceived. And if you love God, you truly love God, you automatically love man.
Amen.
And not just the elect. I can't stand that theology either. You know when Jesus saw the rich young ruler, knowing he was the son of the devil, knowing he would reject the word, what did the Bible say he did? He looked on him and he loved him.
Amen.
And on top of that, what did he do? He gave him the opportunity to still receive the word, knowing he wouldn't. God did the same to Cain, didn't he? He came, he gave him the word just to try to say, look, you have the opportunity to be saved. Knowing what decision you make. He did the same for Balaam. He told him, don't go down there. Stay here. But he began to see the money. He began to see the allure of sin. And it can be anything in these days. My people in Laodicea sell it for a lot less than Balaam ever did. People sell it for a lot less than the rich young ruler did. They'll sell out just for $50.
Sure.
Yeah.
Brother Sam says, you remember him giving the testimony that his uncle is a very rich man? And had he let go of the message, he could have had millions. Never had to worry about money. No, money would have never been an object to him again. But the world's riches will fade away. They're moth. They're corrupted. They'll never last the test of time. But if you can begin to realize that the fact that you're born again is the most important thing that ever did happen, ever can happen, and what God put in you is really eternal.
Amen.
It is a substance that never decreases and never increases. It is.
Amen.
And it's not just anyone. It's God.
Amen.
Manifested in you. That's the doctrine of the Lord. I will warn you. If you stand on sound doctrine, you will not be popular.
Right.
It's not a thing of the world. It's not a thing. You won't even be popular in the message these days.
Right.
If you stand on true, solid, sound doctrine. Do you know Ohio? As more as I've gotten out and talked to ministers, Ohio has a reputation for being the place of unsound doctrine. You know, almost everything that we've heard, you know, you think of two soul and polygamy and things like that. Do you know where all that came from? Ohio. Most of it. I know there's some that didn't, but Ohio was a place of bad reputation among the ranks. But it just reminds me of old Saul, don't it? Oh yeah, they knew he was a murderer. They know they didn't want nothing to do with him. But he could still receive the Holy Ghost and be sent right back to the apostles and tell them, hey, I'm the messenger now.
Yeah.
Is that all right? Woo, glory to God. That felt good. I ain't worried about a group thing in the first place. That's not the doctrine of the Lord anyways. When did God ever save a group? He saves individuals.
Right.
And you have to know yourself. Not just even saved in this age. I want to know that I'm sealed, sanctified, packing the life of God to head on out of here.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let me just read a few scriptures. Listen closely. 2 Timothy 4, it says, I charge thee therefore before God and Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, which means to bring the right thing. Rebuke what's wrong. And exhort, which means encourage, with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come, and that's this time right here, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Oh my brother, one of these days, that latter rain's going to come.
Mm-hmm.
Come on. Then there'll be the power of God in the church.
Yeah.
Latter rain king.
Yes, it did.
Uh-huh. You go type in latter rain for a little bit and look what Brother Branham's got to say about it. He's not very happy with what people do with it.
Mm-hmm.
Did you bunch of latter rain brothers out there trying to start some work? Don't you know that that's not what God wants done? You remember he said that the former rain was a teaching rain, and that's done gone. He said, but I'll pour out the former and the latter rain together, which is the teaching with the power that goes with it.
Amen.
And if they're sitting in a teaching rain, Brother Branham can discern the hearts of the children and tell them what's wrong and tell them their name and things. How much more the fullness of the word? We need to believe this.
Amen.
I'm not looking for the power of God to rain down someday. I already have it.
Amen.
Because it's not going to come in a big sweeping revival. It's the life within you springs up. It's the rain that pours out life. It's all that's left because there's brass in the sky in this Laodicean age.
Amen.
There's judgment for the whole world. God ain't going to pour out no more to them. They rejected it the last time. All the way back in the 50s, the prophet said they already rejected it. It shows that the life of God must be within you.
Amen.
Because you're not going to get it from some of the revival. There ain't no more. There ain't no more feeding off of those things.
Right.
Because even what happens, remember he said there's anointed ones at the end time. Oh sure, the Holy Ghost is still here, but he's only here for the elect.
That's right.
Other people got enough faith to enter into that for a little healing maybe here, a little joy here and things like that, and a good shouting time and things. But it's for the bride.
Amen.
We don't care if you just got a field out there, is all the soil is going to get wet. But if you're a farmer, you don't care. You want to make sure that seed's getting wet.
Amen.
And when God planted the earth, and he didn't care about no thorns either, did he? Remember, that was the enemy that came in and threw the seeds after him. What was he looking for? Where's the seed?
Amen.
Where's the seed that I planted?
Amen.
And if the Lord plant the house, then it can stand.
Amen.
But if man plants it, it'll be burnt up in the fire.
Right.
Hallelujah. And aren't you glad that you finally can see that you were predestinated?
Amen.
Saying, brother, how'd you figure that out? I met him.
Amen.
And he showed me who I was. And it is a progressive thing. I believe that. I believe right when you get saved, things, you're just so full of joy, you can't even be taught just yet. You're just so bubbling over. You just, whoo, glory to God. I just feel good. Hallelujah. And that what a little child does? You can't hardly teach them too much. You know, you're not going to teach a two-year-old calculus. It just ain't going to happen. But you can teach them to love. You can give them the foundations to build the other things on.
Right.
And that's what I look for in Church of the Living God. I'm looking for people that's got foundations, not in some doctrine, not in some group, but in Christ.
Yes,
then I don't got to worry about it. You know how many times we try to convert people saying, okay, well, go get rid of your TV now. And then go get you women, go get your skirts on. You know, and you men, shave up, clean up. You know, can't have beards and messes. I have to say that. Sorry. You know, you go do all these things, then come get the Holy Ghost.
Right.
I ain't worried about that. No. Let's get them to the Holy Ghost. Amen. And then when you say those things, they catch it. You don't have to say it. It's God speaking through you to the seed.
Amen. Right.
Nobody had to tell me to check TV out. I heard it. I heard it from someone else. I hope you understand what I mean. I say just because you got the box somewhere in your house. I'm talking about watching cable and filth and stuff. And we don't know. The internet's just as accessible as anything else. It's time to keep that stuff out of our lives.
Right. Amen.
And there ain't no good influence left. There ain't. I'm sorry. No media, no mass thing at all in this world is from God anymore.
Right.
It's all done corrupted. I like to be able to pull once in a while just to see maybe a denominational guy that has a backbone. There's about five of them left, isn't there? Just to, and I believe that's that foolish virgin sitting out there getting ready for it when it's all said and done. You say, brother, really? This is just me, but I don't see the foolish virgin being out of the message churches so much. Because they know too much.
Right.
They know too much. Remember when Jesus said, or the disciples came to Jesus and said, there's a man out there that was casting out devils in your name. We rebuked him because he don't follow us. He says, don't do that. He that's not against us is for us.
Right.
See a man that's ignorant and just heard a little bit about prayer and things and uses Jesus' name and says, hey, I'll go for it. And it worked.
Uh-huh.
Jesus didn't rebuke him because he didn't have a certain revelation and things like that. He just said, that's fine. Right. And that's what I see is those denominational people. They're just serving God to what they were capable of.
Yeah.
And as long as you're giving the whole heart, I believe they'll be in the kingdom. Maybe not in New Jerusalem, but I believe they'll be part of the kingdom. We'll teach that maybe sometime too. But a man that come and stood right around Jesus and smacked him in the face and said, if you're a prophet, tell us who hit you. Man that said, you cast out devils by the power of Beelzebub. He knows too much. Because he don't believe it.
Right.
And you ain't going to outdo the word. Jesus is pretty easy about it. He says, okay, here, let me ask you something. Baptism of John, was that of God or of men? You think that was just one sentence and he just destroyed all of their arguments.
Yes.
Don't trust in your reasoning. You'll be talking for hours and get nowhere. Let the Spirit speak and it's a 5-minute conversation.
Amen.
Here's a sick man. Make him well for me. You say, oh, brother, isn't that a little arrogant? I ain't standing to express Andrew Kressel. I'm here to express Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I want everybody to know that he is still alive.
Amen.
I know he died 2,000 years ago, but that wasn't the end of the Christian story. On the third day, he rose and said, I am alive forevermore. That's the doctrine of the Lord. Jesus Christ is still with the church, and he's still in the church in the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And the message came to show us the faith that they had. That's why the signs follow the believer. That's why the doctrine cast out devils.
Yes.
That's why the doctrine proved that God is a living God. He's not a God of the dead. He's a God of the living. And the message came to do the same.
Amen.
Don't judge it by the message now. My, Jesus' message produced all kinds of fanaticism.
Yeah.
Oh, you go look up history, just craziness that pulled off of that. All kinds of things followed in. We know that Paul, was by the time it was done, he was all by himself. Who knows what demons went and did with what he was taught.
Right.
That ain't how you judge a ministry. You judge a ministry by the power of God in the ministry. And the life of God in the ministry.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes, Jesus. Thank you.
Let's read this together. I am going to close soon. Titus chapter 2. Let's talk about sound doctrine for a little bit here. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. Brothers, say an amen.
Amen.
I don't know how old you got to be aged, but I think any man can say that.
Amen.
It's time to be temperate, grave, sober. What do those things mean? It means you got a level head because you're not trusting in your head. You've got the head of Christ now.
Yeah.
And just because you have thoughts and things, don't condemn yourself. Get those things out of your head. Don't let them come out and be words. Did you hear what I'm saying? Just because you got a bad feeling or something, don't mean that you necessarily sin here. Or just because you get upset, you get riled up, you get some pride or things. But don't let it manifest out. Be grave. Temperate, which means self-control. How can I control myself? A man can't control his own spirit. That's right. That's why you're given the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Oh, wow.
To take the flesh spirit and put them under your feet and say, you ain't doing that, buddy. Too many times, just because we get tempted, we condemn ourselves.
Right.
Isn't that right?
That's right.
And how many times we've been tempted not to be temperate, not to be sound in faith, but to say, oh my, I don't know how we're going to pay for this. I don't know how we're going to do this. Because we like us men, we like in control, don't we? We got it figured out. I'm all right. Don't worry about it. The second you go just a little too far with that, what happens? Here comes a problem you can't fix.
Right.
And all of a sudden you're going, Lord Jesus, have mercy. Help me out. He failed you yet? He ain't failed me yet.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Sound in faith, in charity, and in patience. Let's keep reading here. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. Now listen to this. Take this home, if you're an elderly sister, that is. That they may teach the young women to do what? To be sober. Which means clear-minded, not spouting off, not getting all emotional. Don't do that, women. Stay sober. It's all right. What else? To love their husbands. Whew, Laodicea don't like that. Oh, I'm supposed to love my husband? Well, yeah, you are. That's what the Bible told you to do. To love your husbands and to love your children. To be discreet, chaste, keepers at home. Good. Isn't it sad that God had to say that in there? There's a scripture in John that says, he that doeth righteousness is righteous. Why does that need to even be in there? It just goes to show you that sometimes, if we don't evaluate things in the simplicity that they are, we'll call something that's unrighteous righteous. You got to trail down. Did that help the other brother? Did that help the guy who looked like he was doing good? Amen. To be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husband, that why? That the word of God be not blasphemed. Brother Branham said, if you want to know how a church is doing, look at the women and what they do. Are they keepers at home? Do they love their husbands? Do they love their children? Are they dominant? Are they trying to control everything? Are they subject to the word of God? Are they subject to their husbands? And I hope you understand that's even if he's a sinner, even if he's an unbeliever, look, the word of God will be blasphemed if you don't do that.
Amen.
Because what will they do? What will they begin to say? Oh, you're just getting all puffed up because you go to some church that thinks you're too good for me and things like that. And we know they'll say things like that anyways, but they need to know that in the truth that you're not doing that. You sisters now. Remember the woman that had the drunk husband that come home and brought the men with her and were beating things up? And he said, remember they had said, there ain't no Christians left. He said, no, not my wife. You come and check it out. And they came to the house and acted like a bunch of hoodlums, said, honey, make me some eggs and toast or whatever. And you know what she did? She went out there and made them. And it's too many times sisters complain that their husband got a little whatever. At least your husband ain't like that. Let's count our blessings, name them one by one, to realize that your husband ain't as bad. He ain't Jesus now. I'll tell you that. This husband ain't Jesus either, by no means. But God gave him to you, sisters. Oh.
Amen.
Oh, okay, just making sure. We got five of you here, so. I'd expect it to be too loud, but I expect to hear a little bit. God gives you, and I hope you husbands believe that too, that God gave you your wife. And you say, well, she's not this, she's not that. That's fine. I understand. And who knows? You know, when Brother Ram said, even if you did marry the wrong one in the world to come, it'll be all right anyway. So don't worry about it. Sometimes people get divorced and things like that. What did God specifically tell the prophet to tell them? Just go on the way you are.
Amen.
Just love God. Go on the way you are. He'll fix it when it's all done. And remember, in the new world, there's no jealousy.
Right.
There's no hatred. There's no, so don't even think that you're going to feel that way. That stuff doesn't exist there.
Right.
Let's just throw it out there. Let's say you married the wrong woman, and you're supposed to marry this one. When you get over there, there ain't going to be no hard feelings about it.
Right.
Everybody just go on their own way. It'll be just fine. Look, we got to get out of Laodicea thinking.
Right.
And think like the world to come, that we're all brothers and sisters, and we all love each other.
Amen.
That's what it'll be like. Your brother does something, gets you wrong, and he comes saying, I'm sorry. What are you doing? Brother, quit it. It's fine. You done forgived him, didn't you?
Yeah.
Because you love. And that's just this little bitty deposit that we have in this life of that world to come. Wait till it's just love overflowing. Remember, Brother Bram said, it's not just little joy, it's all joy.
Amen.
And it's just, you can't comprehend what it's like. There's no more happiness, it's just all happiness.
Right.
It's all peace, it's just all love. That's what I live for. It begins to show when you think of it that way and the things that we fight and stew about. You say, brother, you fight and stew. You're a minister. Don't you have troubles and trials? Oh, yeah, brother, you better come to my house a few days. Once in a while, yeah, I got a flesh too, but I'm not trusting in that.
That's
right.
Amen. Or I said this, but I'll say it again. There's two things I tell my wife more than anything. I love you and I'm sorry. And if we'll realize that we're the bride of Christ and he's our husband, if you're a real Christian, I guarantee those are the two things you tell him more than anything else. Lord, I'm so sorry. Why did they do that? But, you know, Lord, I love you. I do. I do with all my heart. Won't Satan come say, dude? No, no. If you loved him, you wouldn't have done that.
Right.
If you loved me, you wouldn't have done this.
Right.
You wouldn't, you know? Yeah. I'm going to tell you, you know what? He might be right. You might be like, yes, I know. I didn't love the Lord then, but I love him now.
Amen.
This is all I can do. I can't change that anyway,
amen.
But I'm going to start loving him now.
Amen. Amen. Go on, amen.
How many times you got to die to the old flesh anyways? Paul said every day. The apostle of the age say he's got to die to this flesh every day?
Amen.
Yes, sir. There's no big eyes. There's no little U's in the kingdom of God. We've all got trials. We've all got temptations. We've all got to overcome one way or another. That the word of God may not be blasphemed. I love this. Verse 6. Young men likewise exhort, encourage to be sober-minded. What else do you got to tell young men? Just get your head in the game. Just be sober-minded. If you just get a young man to do that, he'll go right. That's why Paul didn't waste time with nothing else. This is what's wrong. Your head's in the gutter, buddy. You need to get a sober mind. When you were in the world, it wasn't the same. There's only three things. And even when adults grow up and things, you think they'd grow out of things. But I had to go one time on a track conference or whatever. I was coaching one year and went with all these guys. They talked about three things the whole way. You ready? Women, beer, sports. That's it. And I was sitting in the back. I had my iPod in. I'm just like, God have mercy, man. You guys, nothing? Nothing? Not what you ate last week? You know, not kind of new clothes or what your wife, your children? You got nothing besides beer, women, and sports. Listen to sports radio the whole way there. And after a while, you begin to just listen to even hear what it's saying. Anybody know anything about football? How the quarterback throws the ball to receivers and things, okay? I can't even remember how long it was. It just drove me crazy. That's all I know. It was at least a half hour. They were saying, would this quarterback have been better had he had better receivers? What's the point in talking about that? It's over. It's done. It's an argument. It's vain janglings, isn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't that what people do? Well, if this would have happened, what about this? Well, if that didn't happen, who cares?
Yeah.
What if Abraham wouldn't have went to the promised land? Who cares? He did.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
Amen. That's good. What if Rachel wouldn't have married Isaac? Or, Jacob. What if Rachel wouldn't have married Jacob? What would have happened? Who cares? It did.
Amen.
We began to think that this plan of God was hit and miss. God just kind of worked out that way. It was predestined for the foundation of the world that every little thing would hit right on.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Young men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded. Now let's read this a few more verses here. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, not just Superman religion. I'm going to let this hit home for a second. Not just, I'll do this nice thing, and that's good for at least a month. Good for a week. No, a pattern of good works. That is your character that you just do for others as they would do to you. A pattern of good works. And doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity. Sound speech that cannot be condemned. That he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. You see the expectancy of a Christian life. Because it's time for our flesh to die and Christ to live. Look at the foolishness of the argument they had to come up with against Christ. They tried the Sabbath thing. That didn't work out too well, did it? He just healed a man that was crippled for years and years and years. Had a withered hand for years and things like that. And he healed him. And they tried to come up with some Sabbath argument. It didn't last too long. The people looked at him like, you're crazy. That doesn't make any sense. What was the only thing they ever come up with? You being a man. Called yourself God.
Right.
That's all he could come up with because he just did good all the time. It's the same in this age. What's the only thing they're going to get mad at you about? That you stay with the Word.
That's right.
What kind of society doesn't want people that don't cheat, steal, lie, commit adultery? Isn't that the kind of citizens you want? You would think so. But why do they hate you?
Yeah.
Because you stay with the Word.
Amen.
And what does that do? It condemns their activity.
Right.
Right.
So it's no longer you that's really the problem. It's what you're doing to them.
Right.
No man likes to feel convicted.
Right.
No man likes to feel condemned. But a man that comes to Christ knows that that's for his good.
Right.
Aren't you glad that when you put your hand on a stove, there's something in your body that says that hurts, get it off?
Right. Amen.
We think we don't like pain, but I tell you what, without pain, we go through a lot more pain.
Right.
We'd be dead.
Yeah.
If your hand didn't tell you you're burning, you just leave it there. And by the time you know it, your whole hand's on fire and you're gone.
Right.
Aren't you glad? Look, their consciences are so seared, they'll do that spiritually. Lay it right on there. Just live in sin, live in adultery, killing themselves the whole time, drinking away their life, and they'll just keep doing it, won't they? Smoking it away, getting drugs, and just killing themselves, and they'll just keep doing it. Why? They have no feeling left. They're past any sort of feeling. Any sort of, I'm talking spiritually now, I ain't talking about physical, spiritual feeling. But aren't you glad when you touch the sin? No. Aren't you glad you felt it a little bit?
Amen.
That you could quit doing it? Before Satan was allowed to have his way in your life. And I hope you figured out Satan don't love you. Satan don't love you. He might act like he does. He might say some good sweet words, but he doesn't love you. Let's finish this scripture now. Verse 9. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again. What does that mean? Just do what you're told. God will honor you. Amen, brothers. Not prolonging, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous
Amen.
Of good works.
Amen.
These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Let's just emphasize that last scripture there for a second. He says, do it with all authority. Which means have the same standard for every person all the time.
Right.
And what has made more havoc in churches, what has made more church splits is people that don't do that. Whether in positions or authority or a pastor or things, they'll treat one person this way. Oh, but if this brother says it, oh, we'll kind of ease around the corners about it. Stay the same all the time. If one brother does something wrong, you should have the gall to be able to say to another brother, you're wrong as well. I don't care if he's your buddy. I don't care if he's your dad, he's your brother, he's your wife, he's your children. We should do that.
Amen.
And I'll just say it for me. Even my own son, he'll act up in church and I'll tell you that. But I don't let him. Discipline him right there. You all know he's walked up here to the pulpit before I had me. So get back your seat, boy. Why? I don't believe in being a hypocrite about it. It ain't right for him to do that. He'll grow up though.
Right.
As Brother Bram said about his child, he said, you know, they're gonna do wrong. We understand that, but lay before the right way anyways. Just keep laying it before them and they'll come back to it.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Isn't that what the Bible said?
Yeah.
Teach a child in the way he's going, he's old, he will not depart.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering. And then it pulls it back to the church. Remember, this is the ministry he's speaking to. Let no man despise you. Stay in heavenly places that you can see that when even the word of God moves through a man and it rebukes you, that it's not that man
right.
that's against you.
Right.
Don't despise him.
Right.
It's the Lord.
Amen.
And we'll say amen if it's good things, but for some reason when it's bad, it's kind of hard to swallow it down, isn't it? But if we'll just realize that that's really the truth of it, that this gift, even as a pastor, as Brother Nathan said, you got to realize that the pastor is not the pastor.
Right.
Jesus Christ is the pastor.
Amen.
And he does ordain offices. We understand that he does that for a reason. It's for a purpose, but he never intended for you to look to me as your Savior,
right.
as your deliverer, as the one to give you the word of the Lord. Like I just conjured it up for you. He used me as a vessel to speak to his children,
right.
to feed you. To nurture you, to take care of you, and at the same time, he does it for me too. Do you understand?
Amen.
My own gift as a pastor pastors me.
Amen.
Some of you look at me funny, but I'm telling you, it's the truth anyhow.
Yeah.
If you knew how many times I've preached on myself, you'd realize that I don't say these things of my own accord that the Lord does.
Amen.
There's one woman in here that knows, and that's my wife. There's plenty of times she's looked at me going, oh man. He's trying to preach that after what you did today. Yeah, I understand, and I think, oh Lord, have Jesus have mercy on me. But I just want more than anything that Christ would live in me, that I could just fade away. And that's really the doctrine of the Lord, isn't it? That Christ lives in his people. Now we don't look for ourselves, we don't look for the flesh to please man. We're not here to please man. And I, let me just read that scripture. I forgot to. I want to quote this. Just listen carefully. It's Galatians 1:6. It says, "I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that calleth you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there are some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we," speaking of the ministry, "any man or an angel from heaven speak and preach any other gospel than you, which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed." Which means Paul had already brought the truth. There's no more to bring.
Amen.
This is it. "As we said before, so say I now again, if any man," so he takes it off just the ministry, takes it off just the angelic God, "any person will preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. For now, do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ."
Amen.
If you trying to please a brother over the word of God now, we should always try to live for one another. But if you take that over the word of God, you say, "How do you do that, brother? But you know, buddies want to go out drinking, you're just going to go, fellas, because you want to be a good witness." No, sir. You're a servant of Christ. Don't please men, please God.
Amen.
Abraham's consecrated life was the only reason Lot ever got saved in the first place.
That's right. That's right.
Hallelujah. There's only one doctrine, there's only one way, there's not two or three, and that's what the message came to show us. Not to show us to be a new denomination, not to tell us that all the denominations have no hope at all, and they're all just garbage, and all the people out there, they're just terrible people. That's not what the message came to do. The message came to restore us the only way back.
Amen.
Wasn't Brother Branham for the believer? Now he can tell the difference. It was Christ expressing himself to us.
Amen.
Because as we know, he is the way.
Amen.
There is no other way. You do not get to the Father but by Jesus Christ.
Right.
Let me read one quote and I'm finishing right here. This is it. God perfecting his church. "If you spurn love, there's only one thing left. That's judgment. No wonder you're quivering or shivering and quivering because of atomic bombs. No wonder we see this great civilization we live in a crumbling and falling. It's because they have blasphemed and walked over the principles of the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they set up great, big, formal, cold, formal churches, walk into them. The spiritual thermometer goes 70 below zero. Somebody say amen. They stretch their neck around like it was a gander somewhere dying and look around. They don't know no more about God than a rabbit knows about snowshoes. And they got something there and claim to be something with a DDDLL PhD on the back of their name. Why, brother, that don't mean you're any closer to God. I'd rather have an old plowboy that couldn't say his ABCs teaching my children the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ than all the DDs in the world that knows nothing about God, nothing to your theology. What we need today is the cleaning up of the church and the baptism of the Holy Ghost presented to the people in the power and demonstration.
Amen.
And that ain't just the ministry as far as preaching. That's every believer.
Amen.
That's what we need in the church. Amen. That's pretty strong for a Baptist, but that's what it is, brother. It's exactly right. That's what we need today. That's what my Baptist church needs. It's a good old-fashioned house cleaning time. They got a slogan, said a million more in the Baptist in 44 or 54 rather. A million more. What have you got? You've got a bunch of church joiners comes in and joins outside and lives the same kind of a life.
Right.
Skipping down. Because the people comes in and profess to be Christians and go back out and cheat and steal and lie and do the same thing the rest of the world does, act like them, dress like them, talk like them, go to the same places they go, and no more difference than the world. No wonder communism hatched up when they was coughing in the money and so forth like that, professing to be something when they were nothing. Do you know the world's looking for Christianity? They want to see it. They want to see it real. The Bible does say they'll go to and fro, because there'll be a famine in the land, looking for the word of God. Do you understand they're trying to find you?
Amen.
Has anybody took that as the responsibility? How many was grateful you heard somebody tell you the message of the hour?
Amen.
What if they would have thought they're not worthy, they can't tell you about it, they need to find the pastor, they need to do this, and they're just going about their life, and they're just so consumed with themselves. Aren't you glad somebody took the time to just talk to you about it?
Sure.
Lord, help me to not be ashamed of what I believe. Saying you can't, you say Brother Branham in public, I tell him all the time, he was the prophet of God for this age, absolutely. That's not the focus of the ministries, but if you don't know that, you're not going to understand the end time. You understand that? That you know when the Brother Branham said they would receive that he was a prophet when California sinks?
Yeah, that's right.
And it's too late at that point. They knew Noah was a prophet when the water began to come down. By that time, it was too late. It wasn't Noah's fault either. Noah tried with all his heart. That's why he was called a preacher of righteousness. It goes to show he wasn't just sitting there saying, oh, we're saved, you guys are all done. He was saying, get in the ark. And that's the message, that's the doctrine I'm trying to present to you. It's not time to say, oh my, we're just the elect, we're so wonderful. No wonder God saved me, I'm so great. Look at me like that, but you know that's the attitude far too often. And it's affected me at times too. God didn't save me because of me. He saved me because he lived in me.
Amen.
And he redeemed me back because he loved me. Hallelujah. It's time to show the world this is it. This is the doctrine. This is the only thing that your soul can rest on, and you will make it out of this world before judgment strikes. Not because you hate them, not because you dislike the denominations, or this person did you wrong. It has nothing to do with any of that. You want them saved.
Amen.
And you recognize that you can't save them, but you know who can.
Amen.
And you know where he lives.
Amen.
You don't got to go find him on the shelf somewhere.
Amen.
Just yield to what's in you.
Amen.
And I've seen that so many times, and I don't mean to keep going, but I just... about yielding to the Holy Spirit. Do you want to know how easy it is? Don't think anything but the Word.
Yeah. Amen. That's right.
When the Word comes and gives you a thought, say it. And brother, that's too simple. I understand. Say it anyways. How many times you talk yourself out of that?
Sure.
See somebody that's sick, what's the first thought that comes to you? By his stripes, you're healed. Do it. What do you think you got that from? How come other people don't think that? They don't have the Spirit of God living in them. You do. We know that every time you see somebody sick, you don't feel that way. Right? Every time you see money that's a sinner, you don't always feel to share the gospel all the time. But when it does, act right then.
Right.
And watch God vindicate the word that was placed in your heart that came out.
Amen.
Stay together.
Yes.
Hallelujah. How many feels his presence in this room? No? Are you looking past the curtain of time? Saying, Lord, I want to be right, firm, 100% on the doctrine that you established, which is none other than yourself. How many wants that in your life? Lord Jesus, don't let me ever think anything contrary to this word in any way, shape, or form. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads in reverence to his presence. And I always like to give an opportunity. There's one person here saying, I don't know the Lord like I think I should, or what you're talking about, Brother Andrew, I just seem like it's beyond me. I feel like God's always a little distance away, and I can never seem to feel him in my heart, that wherever I go, he's there. I want to give you an opportunity. If you'd like to say, Lord, that's me, but may I feel your presence now. May you change my heart. I ain't trying to convict anybody. If it's the Holy Spirit convicting you, that's the time to raise your hand. Don't let the devil tell you you're not saved if you are. But if you haven't, just say, Lord, fill me anew. Right in that deepest of deepness. That I'll live this doctrine, this life of God in my life every day. And if you are a believer, say, Lord, just once more, can I just be like Samson, Lord? And just let the power of God rest in my heart and in my life. And not for me, but there's loved ones in my life that I want to stand for. There's people that need healed that I don't want to be dealing with doubt and confusion, Lord. I want a perfect channel of faith for you to move through. Lord, that wherever I am, you can be. Wherever you are, I am, Lord. And I'm not missing the will of God. I'm not getting contrary and doing my own thoughts, Lord. How many wants that? I believe if you raise your hand, you're defying all the world says you have to do. And God will answer you. His presence is here now, and I pray that you'll just yield to him. Whatever the word says, do it. The Lord wants you to just praise and praise him. If you even feel to pray for somebody, pray for them. They might not even be here. God is not subject to time or space. He's the Almighty God. And he can send his power and presence right where you ask him to. Those supernatural thoughts that are coming through your head from the word, that's God telling you to say that. Don't be afraid to say it. You don't even got to. Just tell the devil right to his face, you're a liar, Satan. Give me back my child. Give me back my brother. Help my family. Heal this man. Heal this woman. Make me your true servant. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As we bask in his presence, Let that fill every fiber of your being. Just step aside and say, Lord, have your way in me. Do with me as you please. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we love you. We adore you. We so appreciate all that you've done for us, Lord. The shower of blessings that you give to us day in and day out. How we're thankful for even just Wednesday, Lord, how you came and healed Brother Austin, Brother Thomas, Lord. How just that you're always here. You're always present, Lord. How you helped the Ochoa's car to work, Lord, where they didn't even know what was wrong, but they knew who knew, and that's you, Lord. How we're happy for this, and we all could, if we would just think about it long enough, we could open up our heart to all the wonderful things you do for us. Lord, how we have food, how we have houses, how we have friends, how we have family, and more than anything, how we have you. When the world's just floating about in sin and darkness and depression, young children committing suicide for no reason, Lord, it just shows that this world has lost its mind. Lord, we're happy in this last days that you gave us a sound mind, that you gave us love and joy and peace. We didn't earn it, Lord, but we just asked you to give it to us, and you gave it to us unreservedly. I pray for each person that's here. First, for their soul, if there's any here that don't have salvation, Lord, may they receive it today, knowing that the true altar is in the heart. And they must open the door to let you in. There's any here, Lord, that need the Holy Ghost and never had the power of God come and quicken their life to the Word. May this be the service they receive it, Lord. You said you sent your Word and healed them. I pray not only for the spiritual healing, but if there's any physical needs in this church, may they realize that just a hand raised up is your presence. And they can receive the healing virtue they desire. Fulfill your word in each life, we pray. We thank you, Lord, for speaking. I thank you, Lord, for the grace of mercy you've shown to me in my life. Lord, I'm just a sinner not fit to live, but I thank you that the blood came, that you gave your life and took my place, that I wouldn't have to go there. Lord, I'm so happy for that. I'm so happy that not only did you save me, but you didn't leave me to stay in this sinful condition, but Lord, you changed me. You made me, Lord, that I could rest in heavenly places, that the life that you live can live through me. And Lord, there's no other life I'd rather have live in my heart than yours. And I believe that's the desire of each believer here. And I pray that if Satan has built a stronghold anywhere that's holding back the Word of God in their life, may the Word now destroy that stronghold.
Yes.
And may they be set free and the fetters just fall off and all the chains of darkness. And maybe they'll raise their hand in joy, knowing that the joy of the Lord is our strength, and have praise given to your name. Lord, we thank you for your love and grace and mercy. We thank you, Lord, for your presence. There's nowhere else we'd rather be but in your presence, Lord. And how happy we are to know that when we'll cross that curtain of time one of these days, that's where we'll live. It won't be higher, lower, more or less. It'll be just you. That's all we desire, Lord. As Christians, more than anything, we desire to love you better, to have a closer walk. Or that when we go to bed, we know that you're there with us, or that we won't just ignore you. But Lord, we'll just spend a little time to talk to you and to love you even throughout the day, Lord, that will be like Paul said, to pray without ceasing. And not out of duty, but just because we like to. We like to spend time with you, Lord. We like to talk to you about things. Just such a wonderful Savior, Lord. And we're so happy that even though you're the creator of all things and you could do whatever you wanted to, Lord, you desire to spend time with us. Help us to realize the magnitude of that. We are so small and you are so great, yet you became us that we could become you. We love you, Lord. We appreciate you, Lord. I pray that each one would receive the word that was spoken today. And Lord, may they, as they receive the word, may it begin to spread from them, that eternal life might spread to each predestinated seed that we can affect, and that you'll be able to take us home to be with you forever. We ask it to be so in Jesus Christ's precious name. Amen. Amen. As we reverence his presence, I do want to, again, if you have a need and you'd like to come forward, we can pray with you. If you just feel like the Lord has given it to you right there. I believe in that with all my heart. That's that Gentile faith. God promised it to us. Just do whatever he tells you to do. Don't question him. Just praise him and love him for a little while. Let's let that worship water the word that was brought to us today. Let's sing that now. Worship with all your heart.
Oh, make me more like thee.
With all your heart now.
Jesus, make me more like thee.
Is that your heart's desire today? Thank you, Lord.
All through life's journey, from earth to glory.
your emotion. The Holy Spirit here. I know He's dealing with some that are still here, and if He's dealing with you, don't worry about anything else. You stay until the Lord's done with whatever He wants to do with you. I do want to say that I had one song written on here, brother. You see that?
Yep.
To be like Jesus. Me and Dad don't take notes together either. And actually, to be honest with you, I've been praying that the Lord would do that not only for you all, but to encourage my dad here. But what he does for the Lord is any kind of ministry. You'd be surprised the thoughts you have. And everybody thinks you're doing great, but you feel like a failure. So I just so appreciate the Lord doing that. How many just wants to be like Jesus? How many knows that you're predestinated to be conformed to the image of the Son of God? And as you desire that, you didn't give that desire to yourself. He gave it to you. He promised you'd have it. And this service today was predestinated for one more step for you.
Amen.
To bring you that much closer. I mean, just feels His love all around. Say, Jesus, oh God, help me love You like You love me. Because it's just so glorious. Hallelujah, hallelujah. As I said, I don't want to prolong the time. I don't want to preach another sermon. I want you to hear from the Almighty. That's why we preach the Word, that each individual person can talk and hear from God and learn what He wants you to do. So as we keep singing that song just a few more times, and I'll let Dad go ahead and take over. But if you need to go, you can be dismissed. In Jesus Christ's name, God bless you. Lord, with all your heart.
I'm so glad I'm yours.